Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I am privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished social entrepreneur, Deepa Pant. Deepa, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Deepa is the founder and CEO of Swatanya, which is a social enterprise that empowers underprivileged women through handicrafts. She's the founder of brand Amarin by Swatanya, which is a fashion label for children, and she's been recognized and felicitated several times. So Deepa, let's talk about Amarin by Swatanya. Tell me what about Swatanya.
So first of all, thank you for having me here, and it's a pleasure. So Swatanya, how I love to, you know, introduce it is that it's a responsible social creative crafts enterprise. Mm-hmm. Responsible because of what we do, how we do it. We create handcrafted products and using upcycled waste and recycled raw materials. And also we say it's responsible because of the way we make them, who makes them. So every product is handcrafted by women who live in slums. We upskill them so that you know they can get trained and they can earn. And we create a plethora of products, a huge range, soft toys, gifting products, festival products, accessories, etc.
And you know, before you started Swatanya, you spent 13 years in the corporate sector. What was your motivation to move to the social sector?
So once I graduated from NIFT, it was the usual pattern that I followed, you know, working for an export house, then working for international labels, working for a domestic brand, working for IPL teams. We were the merchandise partners for a majority of them when it started. So there was a lot of jazz, learned, climbed up the ladder. But, you know, there was this feeling of there's something that's missing. Of course, you know, I was in the rat race. I knew it. And there was something which told me that there's something much more to life than just this. So I took a break. My mother was working at that time for an NGO teaching underprivileged children. And I thought, why not, you know, try and see what I can do with them meanwhile. So we just, I said, okay, I'll let me teach you dance. We enrolled in a competition. We won. And it was like a very interesting experience. Maybe a turning point of some sorts, because, and that was a time when I got talking to a lot of their, you know, mothers, sisters, aunts, and I realized that there's so many women out here in the slums who cannot work as a domestic worker, who cannot, as in choose not to, because dignity of labor is of prime importance.
Sure.
And secondly, because of patriarchal norms, they're not allowed to actually leave their homes and work, go out for work. But they have aspirations. So what can, you know, we can do something about it. If they can't go out, let's take the work to them. And that's how Swatanya was born. You know, it was the idea. I knew I'm a product person. I was confident. I knew we could definitely work out things. So I modeled the whole, you know, business model was created around how can we help these women create something first, learn something, then create it, and then how do we do the marketing and make it reach the market? Because it had to be a sustainable business model. And that's how it came about. We of course, have learned through the years. We've been honing our skills. And but we've created something which has high potential, is what I believe.
Fascinating. And let's also now talk about the brand that you founded. Amarin means immortal. So my question to you is, what goes into building a strong handicrafts brand?
A very beautiful question, first of all. So the name was kept with a lot of, after some deliberation, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the soft side of it is, it sort of resonates with the names of my daughters. So Amaira and Nida, you know, that's how it comes from. But my idea was to create something which is, you know, when you say immortal, it just means that it carries on and on, right? And it is remembered for what it is. And that was the whole idea of creating Amarin. The idea was to work something which works for the whole ecosystem. So, you know, right from the value it adds to the women who work for it, who create it, and the value it adds to the customer, you know, who buys the end product. And plus, you know, what do we leave for the environment? You know, what kind of impact do we leave on the environment? So it sort of weaves around everything in as positive as it can be. And that's how, you know, if it's handcrafted product, we have an advantage because of the carbon footprint that we can leave behind. Plus, it's minimal. We try and keep it minimal. So there is a lot of advantage we have if we do things in a conscious manner.
Interesting. And, you know, as you were building Swatanya and Amarin by Swatanya, what have been some of your challenges and what have been some of your learnings?
So challenges, I mean, right from day one, it is, and, you know, the workforce is unconventional. Mm-hmm. The modus operandi, if I may say so, is unconventional. Right. You know, the product is unconventional because we do, it's mostly, you know, when we talk about women or slums or the picture that comes to mind is mostly jholas. That's what people think. Mm. Bags, jholas, easy products. Whereas the kind of products we do are like we'll create bespoke products, customized products. We do characters of, we'll create mascots for people, characters from the main book, we'll create those. So it's like, just to give you an example, this is a little, you know, jhula, Krishna and Radha.
Mm.
So all handcrafted. So,
and you've done this for Janmashtami.
Intricate,
right?
Work that goes in.
Mm.
Yes, that's right. So okay. It's the kind of work that goes in is amazing. Mm. And so challenges were, we always had challenges, but we always weaved our way around and found out how we can really, it was just for us to, you know, challenges help us do better.
Mm.
That's what I have always felt.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, like what you're doing, so much work with underprivileged women. I mean, I've spoken to many other people who are doing something similar. You're giving them a voice and an ability to earn. My question to you is, what are some of the key areas that you see you have impacted in their lives?
Oh, okay. So 99% of the women that work with us, now over the years, like there are more than 650 that we've trained and we have, whom we have helped earn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say 99% of these women have earned for the first time. As I said, you know, they don't have opportunities.
Mm.
They are sort of homebound and they cannot, but they have aspirations, right? So it's like every time when they earn for the first time, the look on their faces, you know, and the expression that I get back is very, very precious to me. It's because, you know, that amazement that, you know, I can earn too.
Mm.
And it continues for some time till, you know, it gets into their system.
Mm.
That we can earn, we can actually contribute to our family income. So it's very, very big change, transformation for them. So that was like something which I had started seeing immediately, you know, earlier on as we had started. And then I think one story which I would love to share is when we did our first biggest corporate order. In fact, that was an eye-opener for me as well, because that's when I realized the potential of this whole model.
Right.
And it was a small product that we had suggested to the HR and inclusion and diversity team of a corporate, and they were going to do something for Women's Day. And I said, you know, just giving chocolates and all, I said, don't do that. Don't kill the whole idea. Do something from heart, you know, if that's the whole idea. And we created designs for them. They chose, of course, the most difficult one, told us 7,000 pieces. And we need it within a month's time. So 26 days, 7,000 pieces, 33 locations. We shipped it all across to India. And the women did it.
Wow.
You know, they were like night. And it's a very intricate piece that we did.
Mm.
And the women were like, you know, they worked hard day and night. And after when we met once, we had shipped the order. They came to me and, you know, they were sharing stories. And one story which touched my heart was this lady said, you know, I was working in the night. I was trying to complete my pieces. I had to give you the pieces to next morning. So my husband said, you know, you're working so hard. You work through the day. Now you're working in the night. Don't worry about food. You know, let me cook it for you. So he not just cooked for himself, but for the women, for the woman and for the children. And I was like, I had goosebumps. I was like, you know, and this was before COVID. So I know in COVID, a lot of men have actually started, you know, picked up cooking. Mm-hmm. But we started doing it before that. So I'm very happy about that.
Amazing. And is all the money that's now going into women's hands, are you also beginning to see more focus on education for children and building homes, etc.?
You are bang on. When these women get, you know, the money, mm-hmm. the first focus is children's education. Mm-hmm. Invariably, it'll go into education money or tuition money for the children, or they'll buy something, you know, maybe an extra phone now because of the pandemic or something. But if anything that first supports their children's education, in many cases, in fact, interestingly, the women have even become the primary work earners, you know, because of COVID, a lot of men have lost their jobs. And that's where these women have been able to step up. And in fact, they have taken roles of, so we train them to even become production managers, trainers, you know, so to do more responsible jobs apart from just producing. And so they've started taking up those kind of jobs with us so that they can sustain, you know, their livelihood.
That's amazing. And you're also, you know, enabling them to save for the future.
Absolutely. And they're investing. They're investing in their children, which is their future as well.
Correct. Well said.
Yes.
So one more question on Amarin before I move to the next segment. Who helps you develop the designs?
So, of course, this has been, you know, I put in my heart and soul in it, mm-hmm. because there is a vision, there is an, you know, a direction to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. But over the years, very interestingly, these women have caught on, you know, they understand the handwriting, they mm-hmm. understand the design sensibilities. So I have a lot of inputs coming in from them. Plus, you know, we've started doing simpler products for a foundation as well, which is Swatanya India Foundation, because with the numbers growing, the women growing, we had to actually, you know, realize that this is something which we need to keep churning. Mm-hmm. So we started with simple soft toys and simple products, which women contribute a lot design-wise and all. And we then donate these to children in AIMS, Safdarjung, you know, hospitals. So any child who basically, underprivileged child who needs a buddy to hold on to, mm-hmm. you know, to hold on to. Mm-hmm. So They contribute in whatever which way
Fantastic. So now let's move to something completely different, which is Akashic Records. Tell me, what is Akashic Records and what got you interested?
Okay, so very interestingly for me, my entrepreneurial journey and my spiritual journey was sort of, you know, it worked hand in hand. It started hand in hand for me. And it was like, even for my, you know, social enterprise, it has to be something, again, connected. It was like an inner voice, guidance, whatever that I was getting. And the moment I connected, it just sort of opened a whole lot of new world and dimensions to me.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened about 4-5 years back. And I was sort of initiated into an inner journey inwards, which started with simple meditation, exercise, just connecting with myself and working with my inner self, connecting more. And then slowly it was like, you know, I started seeing some patterns, and the universe has its own ways of sort of, you know, getting you hooked is what I believe. So it happened, and I was curious, and I wanted to know, what are these symbols that I'm seeing in my, you know, subconscious, and beautiful, amazing symbols. And I reached out, checked with a lot of people, and I got an idea, you know, maybe there's some kind of knowledge that you're ready for Akashic. And so I explored, and then I learned, and then I did some sessions, and then I've been, you know, sort of conducting sessions over the few years, and I've been growing. And Akashic Records, to explain in a very crisp form, is they are records of a soul, which start from, you know, when the soul is created by the creator. Mm-hmm. So there is, it's a record of all its lifetimes, all the journey that it's had to this lifetime, this blueprint that it has, and to the future as well. So every action, every thought to, and every intent that the soul would have had is recorded in those records. And to maybe connect it to this present scenario, imagine it as a supercomputer with terabytes of data. You know, that's how it is.
Okay. And Akash, it basically comes from the word Akash, isn't it? The sky or the universe.
Yes, Akasha. Akasha, which is a Sanskrit word, which is space, which is one of the five elements. And it's also said that it's, you know, a very, maybe one of the most important elements. I'm sure there can be a debate on that. However, it is, it's all about supreme consciousness. It's about energy. And it's a lot about how the universe reaches out to us, is ready to reach out to us with, you know, the right kind of guidance for us to become better versions of ourselves.
Amazing. So, you know, when I was reading a little bit about Akashic, you know, I'm going to quote something that I took from the internet, which is every thought, idea, and action from the past, present, and future is stored ad infinitum. Now, you know, we're just about getting used to all our data being stored from our computers on the cloud. But, you know, thoughts, ideas, actions from the time a soul is born, as you're saying, are stored. So how do you access one's records?
So this is energy work. It's meditation as well. It's about raising one's consciousness. Because, and it, what's interesting is, and what's beautiful about it, it is, it's available for everybody's, you know, anybody can access it. It's not specifically for some, it's just that, you know, you have to hone that skill. You have to learn how to access it. It's about, you know, like I said, it's the energy. So you, when I'm, for example, like if you come to me and if I were to read your records with your permission, then I will just raise my vibrations, go into that meditative space, and connect to your, you know, your records, connect to that energy. And then thereafter, it's, you know, basically a person who's channeling it doesn't have to do anything. You just have to keep your mind and ego aside and give you the whole download of what the universe, because the universe is trying to reach to, reach out to every one of us in various ways. Today it can be me, tomorrow it can be something else. There are signs. Signs or, you know, which we completely miss out in our usual 3D existence. So, you know, I just connect, I will connect and there will be, it's like, you know, the universe is desperate to reach out to us. It's more like that. It's like, you know, please just listen. That's what we need to do. We need to just calm our mind and listen.
So tell me, you know, in a country as ancient as ours, there are so many other, so many tools available that, you know, people say that they're able to communicate with the universe. I mean, starts with the Janampatri that every child has when everyone's parents get a Janampatri made, to something like tarot cards, to the Bhrigu leaves, to, you know, there's so many others. The astrologers are talking about, you know, stars. How does Akashic records differ, or how does it really blend into all of these other formats of knowledge?
So you're very right about it. It is just another pathway. There are so many paths. There are so many religions. I'm not going into, you know, okay, which, what, that we've sort of messed up. But, you know, like religions, like various form of, you know, there's Reiki, there is maybe past life regression, the new age beliefs and, you know, things. So there's so much which is already there. These are just different paths. It's, and what I believe is, it's eventually all of us connect to that higher consciousness. So it is just another path.
Okay.
And it's, yes. So that's how it is. And I'm not going to, you know, say it depends on each individual, you know, what works for who. How do you connect? How do you find, what do you find your company?
I agree with you. I agree. I'm not getting into which is better or not. I was just trying to see how all of them fit in. One more question. Sorry?
They're all connected. Eventually, you'll see, you know, there's so many different modalities. So the goal is one. There are innumerous ways to
Very well said. I mean, as you just said about religions, there are multiple religions, but everyone says there's only one God. similarly, there are multiple ways to get to the one universe, isn't it? So
absolutely.
Very well. Absolutely. Okay. So one more question, and this is for all our viewers and listeners. When you talk about Akashic, can you share any experience without, of course, giving any names?
Yeah, sure. So every reading for me is an experience. It is, and I believe I learn with every reading too. It's like I evolve with every reading as well. So one example which I'll give, which a lot of people might, you know, connect with is, there was this lady who had come to me, and she has a 12-year-old daughter. So, you know, a middle-aged income family. And, you know, this is a 12-year-old girl. They have a lot of friction, the only child, a lot of friction. There's a lot of fights every day. So she was very troubled about this relationship. But the interesting thing was, I mean, this is something which you say, okay, every preteens or a teens, you know, that's every household story. But interesting part was that this girl was adopted. And the fights were so bad that this girl almost was like, so many times had already told her parents that, you know, I wish I wasn't adopted by you, by you both. I wish it weren't like this. And I wish that, you know, you could have just left me on my own. Because now I feel throttled. And this lady also had a story behind it, in the sense that she, in her college days, had actually decided that she will not have a biological child of her own, and she will adopt. So she was very, very sure about it. In fact, to her college sweetheart, this was a condition that she had proposed when there was a marriage question raised. And she said, no, if you're okay with this, if you don't force me to have your child and we will adopt, I can go ahead with this alliance. And they married and they adopted a little baby girl. And now, you know, they are in this stage. So they were like almost pulling their hair out. And this lady was so, so troubled. She said, what is this? Where am I going wrong? You know, why is this happening? And so we accessed her records. And the universe showed me that there was another past life which is connected. So it can be connected to either this lifetime or various past life. The universe will give you the answers, right? Mm-hmm. So it showed me that, you know, this lady actually had that daughter as her real daughter, and she was maybe about seven-ish, the daughter, and when there was a river, and there were floods and storm and thunder and whatever, and they were in a boat which went into a spin, and this baby, I mean 7-year-old child, just falls out of sort of the, you know, falls out of the grip of her mother into the water.
Okay.
And the dying thought of that child is that I have been abandoned. You know, my mother's just left me. And that is what the soul, that's the trauma that the soul carries. So it's, the soul is here in this lifetime to actually get over that abandonment, you know, and the form it's chosen is, you know, be an adopted daughter. So that's the drama of the universe.
Yes.
And for the woman, it was, the lesson is unconditional love, right? Because there's a lot of guilt that she's had, you know, she couldn't save her child. So the lesson was that come what may, I will take care of my child. I will not let go. And now she's being faced with that situation where, you know, adopted child, giving everything, and she cannot understand why the whole, you know, issue is, why the friction is. So it's a loop. We carry on with this loop till we get out of it.
Amazing. Amazing. So Deepa, I'm going to move to the last segment. Some questions for you personally, but we're running out of time. So I'm going to I have time for two more questions for you.
Okay.
My first question to you is that for someone who in the corporate world started off your own brand, your own social enterprise, doing so much with Akashic Records, what does success mean to Deepa?
So success would mean for me, you know, every woman that I can empower, every child who can get that, you know, that ray of hope and that love, you know, from us. And every, you know, again, through Akashic, if every soul that I can, you know, help connect back to his or herself, the inner self, and transform their own lives, their own way, you know, that is what success would mean.
Amazing.
That is what it means to me.
Fantastic. And a follow-up question, which is my last question. Who or what inspires you to keep doing so many amazing things?
I think, very frankly, I just feel I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. One. Second, I think inspiration is everywhere around us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say there's one person. I mean, every woman who I work with, you know, they inspire me in so many ways. My mm-hmm. children, when they'll come and, you know, they will design something, they inspire me. You know, so it's like inspiration is everywhere around you. You see nature, this, that, one just has to be aware, just open yourself to it. And you realize that, you know, there's so much one can learn from.
Terrific. Deepa, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you for this amazing journey you've taken me on, how you've built Amarin and Swatanya. And thank you for telling me so much more about Akashic Records. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.